Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line, a very special edition of the Broad Street Line as we're doing it live.
Because it's not on my couch.
Because it's not on your couch. And you're not sitting on the floor in your apartment. We're doing it live from Tattoo Moms here in South Philadelphia. It's part of the 2015 Philadelphia Podcast Festival. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, one Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing today, sir?
Roy, I'm doing great. Thanks to everyone who showed up.
Yes, thank you everybody out here who showed up. Thanks everybody who's listening to this on delay on the podcast, because we will throw this up there because this will save us an hour this week of doing a show.
Oh, will?
I don't know, maybe.
So I have more time to play video games?
You have more time to play Metal Gear Solid, yes. Thanks again to everybody for tuning in and listening to our show as always. But the thing is, we're doing this at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival, and you know, as you know, and as I always do this to you, whenever we have a group of listeners who aren't used to what we are and who we are and what we do.
Do we need to give the whole cliff notes?
You have to give it because you have to tell everybody.
I was not planning on doing
it. I know you weren't. I always have to give it to you like this. I can't have you plan this because then it doesn't sound spontaneous. It doesn't sound real from the heart. So please let everybody out there know how we got started, why we're the Broad Street Line, and how we got to where we are today.
Okay, absent copyright infringement from those fine people at SEPTA. Basically, we work at Temple University, and we take the subway home, hence the Broad Street Line. After years, and I mean years, of talking on the subway and probably annoying the hell out of people about sports, we just decided, hey, why not do this like semi-professionally? So here we are, almost 5 years later. I mean, we haven't missed an episode in 5 years. I can't remember. I don't have dedication that many things even work. So the fact that we've done this every week for 5 years is kind of astounding. But we love doing it. We actually made the semifinals of 97.5 The Fanatics Dream Job a couple years ago. So, and we didn't rig it or anything. So I think we're pretty good. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. And remember us. If you see us on the street, just high five us and say, you guys don't suck.
That's pretty much it. And, you know, even, you know, Chris talked about us doing it on the subway. We actually shared an office for a few years.
And annoyed the shit out of everybody.
Oh, yeah. We pretty much, because we shared an office and it had a shared wall, but it wasn't a complete wall, so we can kind of talk over the wall. So basically, we did an 8-hour show at work every day for
because
years.
Really, who the hell wants to talk about accounting for 8 hours?
So that's pretty much again where we are and how we got here. Like you said, we were, you know, semifinalists in the 97.5 The Fanatic Dream Job contest, and we've been doing this every week literally for the last 5 years. This is actually our semi official 5-year anniversary, I believe, this week.
Happy anniversary, Roy.
I say semi-official because we actually, and I don't think I ever told you the story, our first show was actually the last week of August in 2010. And what happened was we did the show, everything was fine. And I went home, and then my wife, she listened to the show, and she said, I heard you great. I didn't hear Chris that much at all. And I'm like, all right, well, what's going on? So I realized that, actually, because we use Blog Talk Radio to do our podcast hosting and recording, I realized that when he called in, because we back then we used to host it on cell phones,
calling, I forgot
calling
about
in
that.
The Blog Talk Radio, I never took him off of mute, so he would call in, and the only like you could only hear him through my phone when I was sitting in the other room, so that's why he was so low. And
because even
high.
Though I'm a total loudmouth,
but it was barely so like that was the reason why. So I called that episode zero. I deleted it. It only exists on my computer.
So those are the lost tapes.
Those are the lost episodes. So whenever, if we ever get big and go to Sirius XM, we can pull out the lost tapes, episode zero, that we actually. But this is actually our first, our actual, I would say, 5-year anniversary.
No, I do remember that episode in particular because I remember I went to Rock the Bells the week before. I saw like Wu-Tang Clan and like for some reason I remember that date. Other than that, no.
So we are glad that you guys are taking part and joining us as part of this, the podcast festival and our anniversary of the show. But since you got a taste of who we are, let's give you another taste of who we are and what we do here on the show. And we usually like to start our show off with something we call the six-pack. And it's a six-pack of questions that typically set the tone of the show, what we're going to talk about.
Non-rehearsed, though.
This is a little bit different show than what we're used to doing. We have a different audience, so it's going to be a little bit different six-pack than you're used to. I come up with the questions. He answers the questions. And again, we're not going to set up the show what we're going to talk about today. We're going to give you a little bit more insight on us, or what? More specifically, you.
God damn it,
Chris Domingo. Okay, are you ready for this week's six pack?
Shit. Whatever. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Answer these questions however you want, using whatever criteria you want. Okay.
This could end badly. Thank God we're not on public radio.
Tim Tebow or Matt Barkley?
Tim Tebow.
Okay. Chipotle or Chick-fil-A?
Chipotle.
Really?
Yeah, no, like I've slowly become anti-Chick-fil-A, maybe because I'm becoming a more socially aware, and I know they frown on a certain type of lifestyle. Chipotle doesn't. So, I mean...
And you're all about the non-GMOs and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
okay, and okay, and the fact that they'll, like, I mean, they don't look down on gays, so come on.
So Chipotle, okay.
F Chick-fil-A, sorry.
Okay. The Link or The Vet?
You're going to... this is...
Answer it however you want.
The Link.
Not The Vet. Not the stadium you grew up in.
No.
You toddled around in The Vet.
That thing was a piece of shit anyway.
Meek Mill or Drake?
Drake. Drake.
Do you know where you are right now?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Well, because he's an embarrassment, so I don't think anyone gives a shit.
Bret the Hitman Hart or the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels?
Oh, this is the easiest question I've ever. Bret Hart.
That's the wrong answer. That's clearly the wrong answer.
No. We were like, let's not get into a 25-minute debate on whether Bret Hart's better than Shawn Michaels.
No, because we don't need to debate that because Shawn Michaels is better. Finally, last question of the six-pack. Tattooed Mom or any other bar in the world?
Tattooed motherfucking Mom. Yeah,
exactly right. And again, we just want to thank Tattoo Moms again, or Tattoo Mom. See, I said moms.
This feels liberating right now. I can currently, I feel like I'm just rapping with... two people I know and two strangers. So
and a few other strangers. Apologies. I'm going to say Tattoo Moms at some point, and I said it once, and I'm going to say it again, because as being from Philadelphia, we throw S's on the end of every word. Like we can.
No, basically the mispronunciation of anything. Acme. Like, I mean, the list goes on and on.
No, but you know how Philadelphians just throw S's on the end of things, like. Moms, even though it's Tattoo Mom, or like Bobby Taylor's yeah. When like Ray Rhodes was here. So I apologize, Tattoo Mom. Even though on Twitter it's @TMoms. See, it just threw me off. This thing kind of thing throws me off. But either way, Tattoo Mom, 530 South Street. Thank you again for your hospitality. Thank you again to Nathan.
Yeah, no, we gotta give. Besides, he made this awesome sign on how to hold this mic, and I keep staring at it for some reason.
We have promotional material also from Nathan, and we have a gift for you at the end of the show as well, because again, thank you, and thank the Philadelphia Podcasting Society for hosting us or allowing us to be a part of the 2015 Podcast Festival. Shouts out to Veteran Shirtium, that's our sponsor of the show, our premier sponsor of the show. We handed out you guys out some koozies and some promotional material from Veteran Shirtium. They're you know, one of the people who help us do what we do each and every week. And this weekend, I think until tomorrow, you can check out Veteran Shirtium. They sell all sorts of Philadelphia gear, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, no matter what team you're a fan of. VeteranShirtium.com has some stuff for you. This weekend only, promo code LDS25 will get you 25% off your order at Veteran Shirtium. So if you want some cool Eagles gear before the season, some Phillies gear, Flyers, whatever you want, VeteranShirtium.com. Check out the promo code, the promotional stuff we gave you. Promo code LDS25 will get you some gear. Very, very cool stuff. And also, again, you know, we can't say it enough. Thank everybody out there for coming out to the show today here at Tattoo Mom here in 530 South Street. And thank everybody for listening to this podcast here. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, just spread the word. Just say these
tell
guys.
Tell five people.
Yeah, no, yeah. Tell five people the truth. Either we suck or we don't suck.
I'm sorry. I did a shout out. I didn't ask you. Do you have any shout outs that you like to give? I always do that.
You know what? I want to give a shout out.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I want to give a shout out to the people that gave us college degrees and employment.
Yes. Speak on it.
Temple University did something for the first time since like Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president.
World War II.
That was a long ass time.
What'd they do? I wasn't around the television yesterday. I have no idea what happened. What did Temple University do?
They, like, I heard the term, like, the D word. But I heard the term dominate. They dominated another team from State College.
I heard they dominated Pennsylvania State University 27-10.
Christian Hackenberg on his back more than a Kardashian. So, I mean.
No, shout out to Temple University. The Temple football team beat Penn State for the first time in 74 years, 27-10. On Saturday down at the link, a full house at the link, 69,000 down at the link. So shout out to Temple Owls.
Yeah, I hope no one went to Penn State here.
Will this motivate you to finally go to a Temple athletic, athletic sporting event?
No, like I mean,
you've never been to one.
I'm tired of being that terrible alum. So it's going to be my rest of the year in resolution.
You'll go to one sporting event.
I might go to a football game.
Really?
I might go to a football game and a basketball game.
Will you pay for tickets to these events?
Hell no.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to. But you know what? I know what you will pay attention to down at the link this year. And, that, of course, those are the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're gonna talk a lot of Eagles today. Is everybody here a sports fan or generally aware of sports? Or, you know, because all right. So, there may be times where we may need to explain things.
Yes.
We've been doing the show for years. We've known each other for years longer than that. And as people who know each other for years.
Went to Vegas together. But honestly, we were kind of old men at Vegas. Like, we didn't do anything of consequence. We went to a concert, then went to bed at like 11:30. Yeah, I mean, he's a king napper. Like, he's more of a napper than me, and I thought that was tough.
I'm on team naps. But since we've known each other for so long, we kind of have our own language.
Yeah, people so bust things. Our balls about how we can just like say, yeah, man. Like, my boss makes fun of me and is like, will you just go down to his damn office and talk to him?
So if we say, please raise your hand or, you know, like wave your hand or do a dance or whatever. If we say or do something that doesn't make sense, because it makes sense to us.
So basically they're going to be dancing for like a few times.
Things make sense to us. And I know it's not, you know, English to most other people. So if we say anything or do anything or drop a term, please just stop us because, again, we have our own language and we're talking Klingon or something.
Yeah, we are.
And you know, sometimes we need to be reeled in. But I think everybody
It's like
understands.
That Valley Girl talk, but for dudes.
Exactly. We're like male Valley Girls. but I think everybody understands the language of winning. And we saw the Eagles do quite a bit of winning this preseason. I don't count the last game. I don't count the game after the dress rehearsal against the Jets. But the Eagles went 3-0 in the preseason. But before we talk about where we are now, I think we have to go back and start where we started this offseason. Because this was a pretty busy offseason, don't you agree?
Man, basically everyone wanted Charles, a.k.a. Chip Kelly, just to explain himself after all these crazy-ass moves. And of course, I was just firmly on the side of Team Chip as I always am. And,
yeah, you are.
And frankly, this right now, I'm feeling very vindicated. I feel like everything has fallen into place.
So you feel good about a man who stole a job from another man, Howie Roseman, mm-hmm. who he worked side by side with for 2 years. You're okay with that?
And who might be quasi-racist.
And the man who might be quasi-racist and who stole a job. You're okay with that?
I'm totally fine with that.
Howie Roseman, again, was the player GM / player personnel / whatever you want to call him, of the Philadelphia Eagles at the start of this calendar year, got forced out by one Chip Kelly. The Eagles call it a promotion. It wasn't a promotion. It's not a promotion. The man sitting off to the side counting helmets in the equipment room. He's getting paid more, which I guess isn't a bad thing, all things considered.
No, he's living. He's living the dream.
He's kind of living the dream, but Chip Kelly forced him out because basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chip Kelly wants to be in charge of these decisions, right?
He wants to, and I've met a couple people over the, like, he wants to be in control of where they put the sod, like the artificial turf.
Yes.
Like, he wants to call everything.
Wants to call all the shots, wants to pick the players, as the saying goes, you know, was it buy the groceries and then cook the dinner?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes? He wants to be in charge of all that. So Chip Kelly basically forced out Howie Roseman. Eagles hired Ed Manowitz as their director of player personnel. But I think everybody pretty much knows that Ed Manowitz is, I don't want to say a yes man. What's a good term to say other than yes man?
His bitch.
His lackey, Ed Manowitz. Chip Kelly is the guy who's making the decisions here for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that happened again late January. This all kind of went down. And then it was kind of quiet a little bit in February. A lot doesn't really happen in the NFL in February.
But then that's when the pipe bombs started coming.
Yeah, but then that's when all the excitement happened.
Oh, sorry, by the way. You're going to get a lot of semi-wrestling references because I like to say I've kept the same hobbies since I was 9. I still play video games, watch wrestling. My girlfriend can attest to that too. So she's always happy about all my interests.
So let's talk about, I guess, the pipe bomb number one. March the 3rd, Eagles trading LeSean McCoy to the Buffalo Bills for Kiko Alonso. Now, for those of you who aren't big-time football fans, big-time sports fans, one-for-one player trades in the NFL never happen. Am I wrong on this?
Absolutely never.
This never happens. And you traded two quality players for each other. Obviously, just LeSean McCoy, Eagles fans know, led the league in rushing in 2013.
And a shitty tipper.
For bad service. Yeah. You get bad service, you're not getting
that bad service at Tattooed Mom.
That you're damn right you're not. But LeSean McCoy, hopefully the servers in Buffalo are pretty good, traded to the Buffalo Bills again for a guy, Kiko Alonso, who's also talented, but who's coming off an ACL injury. Now, I know you're Team Chip. I know you have the hashtag Chip shirt on underneath your shirt right now. Yes. Were you okay with trading?
Yes. Day one, I thought.
Day one?
Yes. Okay. Day freaking one. They stole a very good player.
Who's coming off the ACL?
For a running back who just wasn't part of the program. I mean, I think we can agree that Chip has this either you're with us or against us mode. I mean, they're kind of like the NWO.
It's pretty. The NWO is the New World Order. We have to explain these things because, again, what's the NWO? What's the?
It's the New World Order. It was this faction of renegade wrestlers. I feel like Wikipedia right now. Destined to destroy the WWF or WCW.
Yeah, back then, who was the leader of the NWO?
Hulk Hogan, that goddamn racist.
Oh! So the Eagles are kind of like the NWO.
Kind of, okay. Yeah.
So anyhow, all right. So let's park the wrestling analogies for a little bit. So anyhow, Kiko Alonso traded for LeSean McCoy. 5 days later, the Eagles signed Byron Maxwell at the start of free agency to a $63 million deal. Byron Maxwell is one of the stars of the Legion of Boom defense in Seattle. No one really could be upset with this move considering the fact that the Eagles' two starting cornerbacks before were pretty much terrible, right?
I wish we could have like a garbage like sound right now because they were all trash.
We can edit this. Like I can put a trash, like a garbage sound effect in.
Like a garbage disposal.
Okay. Yeah, Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher. No one's sad to see those guys go on. Byron Maxwell comes in. Eagles making a big splash the first day of free agency. I think it was the first day of free agency. So that was good. And they also re-signed Mark Sanchez that same day to a 2-year deal. Mark Sanchez isn't the greatest backup quarterback ever. Went 4-4 last year with the Eagles when Nick Foles went down.
He has good hair, though.
He has good hair.
Amazing hair, I'm not going to lie.
He has good hair.
As someone who has Nan hair, I can test to say that dude has some great hair.
Isn't a great singer. Isn't a good karaoke singer.
No.
But he has great hair. And actually, nothing for nothing. If you look at the backup quarterbacks around the league, Mark Sanchez isn't that bad. I mean, he's not good, but compared to everything around him, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. Like, I mean, he's a viable person.
He's a viable body. Like, you can put him in there, and then you won't, you know, unlike another guy we'll talk about later, we talk about the Eagles, you will have a viable chance to win a game if you put Mark Sanchez in there. Also the same day that the Eagles lost out on the Jeremy Maclin sweepstakes. Jeremy Maclin, a former Eagles receiver, signed a 5-year, $55 million deal to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, weakening the Eagles' wide receiving core, but you weren't terribly concerned about that move.
I haven't been concerned with
many. Why are you not concerned about these things? You should be concerned.
I think I took my medicine like this entire offseason. No, I don't know. The Eagles always give me a sense of purpose with their moves, unlike certain organizations that just do things completely ass backwards, like the Sixers. But that's another story.
We're not talking Sixers right now. We're talking Eagles. We got to stay on task. We have to talk about the team.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I'm distracted right now. This is like the first day of school for me. Like you know, like the first day, you're like, I'm a little out of whack right now.
It's okay because we're talking Eagles. We're talking about your team, the team that you love, the team that you make excuses for. You know, we're talking about them and the moves they made. The team that's so great that a guy would sign with them and a day later change his mind and say, you know what, I'm done with you guys. You know?
That happens.
I don't want to come
bullshit.
In.
That happens in real world.
I don't want to come in every day and I don't want to have to pee in your cup, Chip Kelly.
Can you imagine a nurse doing that?
I don't want to have to drink your smoothie, Chip Kelly. Because that's what happened.
Why don't people like
Frank
smoothies?
Gore. This is what happened with Frank Gore. Frank Gore came and said, you know what? I don't want to deal with this guy. I'm out.
This is what we deal every week. He just yells at me for being an Eagles fan.
No. I don't yell at you. You yell at me for being a Sixers fan. So it all goes up. But anyhow, Frank Gore agreed to a deal with the Eagles. Then a day later changes his mind, which kind of threw things off a little bit because Eagles fans thought they were going to get their LeSean McCoy replacement in Frank Gore. Frank Gore backs out of the deal. A little bit of trepidation there. But couple days later, everything kind of went by the wayside because when a big deal happens, all the little stuff that came before it kind of goes by the wayside. With the Eagles trading Nick Foles to the St. Louis Rams for Sam Bradford and a second round pick. Now there were more pieces to the deal. We're not going to get into the specifics and the conditional picks and things like that. But Eagles traded a guy who you used to bang on your coffee table arguing for the year he threw 27 touchdowns. You would bang on that coffee table for Nick Foles. Eagles traded him for a guy who hadn't played in 18 months. And once again, you're okay with this, right?
Totally. I mean, like, Nick Foles, I always had to talk myself into Nick Foles. He was just like, I mean, there was just something off about him. Maybe it was like the crazy eye. I don't know. It was one of those
Sam Bradford has crazy eyes.
But he just never won me over. He never, like we went on a couple dates. Like, I mean, it wasn't... It just didn't feel long term. You know what I mean?
So you kind of felt him out a little bit. Like you went on like NFL Tinder.
Yes.
Kind of, what is it, swipe right? Is it swipe right to keep? I don't know how it works.
I don't know. Yeah.
You swiped whatever way it is to keep the guy.
Yeah.
And you kept him out, and you kept him, and you went to a couple dates.
Yeah.
But you went to Tattoo Moms once.
Yeah. And then, but like you always knew something was off. So you were trying to Google his name just to see if he's been like arrested or anything. But like there was just something not there.
There's something there with Sam Bradford.
Yes, like he has a pedigree. Like I mean, like he looks the part of a quarterback.
He looks like a quarterback. Yeah. Like you look at him and you think he's
like a goofy bastard like Nick Foles.
Like you look at Sam Bradford with his goofy jersey and yes. You would agree his goose jersey is kind of goofy. And he looks like the strapping young lad you want to lead your team to the playoffs.
He's
right?
The guy I want a long-term relationship with.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that. On that level, I do understand that. Eagles actually entered a couple of long-term relationships with the other guys, Walter Thurman and Ryan Matthews. But then 2 days after the Nick Foles trade, the Eagles turned around and signed DeMarco Murray from the hated Dallas Cowboys. DeMarco Murray led the NFL in rushing last year. And I would like you right now to explain why DeMarco Murray is better than LeSean McCoy.
He is a one-cut running back.
What does that mean?
He has purpose when he runs. He's not bouncing around like he's LeSean McCoy was indecisive. Okay. DeMarco Murray, decisive.
So
another D word.
So LeSean McCoy was so indecisive, he led the NFL in rushing in 2013.
But he could have led the team in rushing. He could have led the league in rushing last year if he wasn't practicing for Dancing with the Stars.
See, here's the thing, though. You had a bad offensive line last year. So isn't the offensive line part of the reason why LeSean McCoy didn't have a good season last year?
It was part of it, but I think part of it was LeSean McCoy was being LeSean McCoy, just dancing.
Were you his waiter at PYT? Like,
yes. He stiffed me. He only gave me 50 cents, man.
You got to give him better service. Next time he comes in, you got to give him better service. All right, so LeSean McCoy replaced by DeMarco Murray. Again, you get the leading rusher in the NFL for the Eagles, and you also weaken your division rival, and honestly your chief rival, or one of your chief rivals in the NFC. And, you know, we all thought at the time that was pretty much it. Like, once you make that kind of a splash in free agency, you think you're pretty much done making moves in the offseason or potentially making moves in the offseason. But that wasn't quite the case because from that day until pretty much the draft, there was talk nonstop about the Eagles getting a certain quarterback from a certain Northwestern university
Yes. That
Chip Kelly used to coach at. Is that not correct?
That would be 100% accurate.
That was Marcus Mariota from the University of Oregon, Hawaii native Marcus Mariota. Speculation, and pretty much unfounded speculation, pretty much ran rampant for most of the spring because the Eagles, obviously with Chip Kelly, but they knew Marcus Mariota more intimately than pretty much any other team. So it made sense from a lot of angles that the Eagles would go after Marcus Mariota in the draft, and pretty much went up the draft day. Am I?
Oh yeah. I mean, Eagles Twitter was just. I mean, they were waiting for the pipe bomb to, because I really thought I was going to get arrested for just streaking somewhere.
You're going to streak if they got Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
You're going to run outside naked.
Yes.
If they got, because Marcus Mariota is the guy we want for the system, right?
Yes. Do the deal.
He's hashtag do the deal. And then while all this was going on, the Eagles went on NFL Tinder and started flirting with Tim Tebow. The Tim Tebow came
for a workout. Tim Tebow's not on Twitter. On Tinder. He's a Christian.
Well, Christian Mingle.
Yeah.
Christian Mingle.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow came in for a workout in March. He was signed by the Eagles in April. And again, all the stories we heard were, oh, he's refined his throwing motion. He's better. He's good or whatever. While all this was going on, you had Sam Bradford here. You had Marcus Mariota. You re-signed Mark Sanchez. You just had a plethora of quarterback rumors and innuendo and news coming at the same time. And you weren't even sure what to believe.
Like, no.
You didn't even know what to believe when all this was going on. But, you know, once you signed Tim Tebow and once Marcus Mariota wasn't drafted by the Eagles in the draft, once the trade wasn't made, we kind of knew that, well, we kind of figured that everything was kind of, you know, was kind of status quo for a while. And then the draft came along, and then the Eagles made a few, you know, pretty decent draft picks. Nelson Aguilar, the wide receiver. Cornerback Eric Rowe. Jordan Hicks, the inside linebacker. Ja'Cory Shepherd, who actually got hurt. Let's talk about the draft for a second. What was your initial thoughts on the draft? And
Do you think they
kind of hit the areas where they needed to hit?
You know, I'm always pro Eagles.
You can be anti. It's fine.
But I'm not. Like, I mean, I really am completely brainwashed by Chip Kelly.
So you're brainwashed by the most devilish move that the man made. A month and a half after the draft, he made one of the most devilish moves ever.
He's a common man. I found out over the weekend. He likes Corona.
He likes Corona. He doesn't like to talk to people. He likes to golf.
And he likes to ride his bike.
He likes to ride his bike with his helmet.
Yeah.
Safety first.
He's not going to be a future organ donor. Like, he's a safety man. He's all about he's a personal guy. I mean, it's
he
just,
doesn't talk to
no,
people when they
no,
walk past him in the hallway.
No. But if you have crossed him once, he's dead to you.
Define crossing. What is crossing? Because you know what I'm going to bring up.
Debating his authority. Questioning his authority.
All right. So is not showing up to voluntary workouts.
Yes.
Crossing him.
Yes.
Voluntary.
Crossing.
Voluntary.
Don't cross the boss.
Like, meaning not mandatory. Meaning you can if you want to. It's cool if you don't.
Voluntary is a loaded word.
Evan Mathis, you know where I'm going with this. Evan Mathis doesn't show up to voluntary workouts, books his flight for the mandatory minicamp, has his Southwest confirmation. He's Southwest. He's flying like everybody else.
You can totally, like, I don't know, mock that, by the way.
What, Southwest?
You can totally doctor that to say that you've.
Why would you doctor a Southwest like airline receipt?
To make your boss look like shit, that's why.
All right, so Evan Mathis, Pro Bowl guard Evan Mathis. I need to say that every time. Pro Bowl guard Evan Mathis was about to come to the Eagles' mandatory minicamp after sitting out the voluntary minicamps. But of course, since he crossed the boss, Chip Kelly cuts him a day before. A Pro Bowl guard, a position that you have a need in, Chip Kelly just cuts him.
Yep. No, I mean, it's like...
He's a personable guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
No, but I mean, if you are not part of the program, you're dead to him. And I admire that.
You admire that?
Yes.
Okay, he's a man of principle.
Yes.
And so he was a man of principle as well when, at a position of need 2 months later, the Eagles trade Brandon Boykin for a late-round draft pick.
He crossed the boss. He crossed the effing boss.
He said, "Boss, I would like to know how I could get more playing time." That's insubordination.
Yes.
Where does this happen? Like, how does this happen?
Only in football and only in Philadelphia.
Oh my goodness. So and while all of that was going on, because again, that enough is three off seasons worth of stories. Then there's the whole "is Chip Kelly racist" subplot that kind of went on the entire summer. Well, actually, it started in the spring. Former coach Trey Thomas said that in the locker room, he heard from some guys that basically that quote, there's a quote hint of racism in the locker room.
How can you have a hint of racism?
A little bit.
It's like a little bit. Now, is that just like a smidgen of racism?
It's like a tad.
Like a morsel of
like
racism?
A morsel, like a little smidgen.
Who the hell is a morsel racist?
Like, there's... Chip Kelly, apparently.
You can have is that an extra small racist? Is that a quasi little bit?
Just as a hint, not too much. You know, doesn't kind of taste.
The more I talk about this, the more absurd it is. Like, who the hell is a like kind of racist? Like, I mean, like an extra small like mini racist.
Yeah, it's pretty much all or nothing. I mean, you can't kind of be like a kind of like a,
no.
like a partial like a 3% racist.
What like 2% non-fat racist?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like skim racist.
Like, yeah,
you know,
like I mean, you're 100% vitamin D racist.
Pretty much. So Trey Thomas, who by the way, you know, got released from his position as
bitter
as
ass. Was, sorry, disgruntled employee.
Released from ex employee. Released from his position, his coaching position with the Eagles. He said that in March. And then in May, LeSean McCoy, right after he got dealt from the Eagles to the beautiful metropolis known as Buffalo, New York, implied that Chip Kelly is racist because he, quote, got rid of all the good black players.
Now, what about all the other black players? Are they feeling in their bag because they're not good and
well,
they're still on the team?
Well, see, that's the problem with LeSean McCoy's reasoning is that he said that the Eagles got rid of all the, quote, good black players. When there's a bunch of good black players,
really,
still on
isn't
the team.
Isn't the crux of the story like they sent the one black player to Buffalo? And let's be real, like how many black people are in Buffalo?
No, LeSean McCoy is mad because he got sent to Buffalo. Therefore, ipso facto, he is upset.
I don't care, black, white. I'd be pissed if I got sent to Buffalo.
And you should be.
I mean,
Canada,
I like
Canada's right across.
I
the border.
Like Buffalo wings, but I don't need to be in Buffalo to eat Buffalo wings.
But you can go to like the Anchor Bar where they were created. Get your Buffalo wings. Take your
my ass would be in Toronto every damn day.
Take the trip. Yeah, take the trip over the whatever it is to go to Toronto. Go to the casino. You can hang out. I heard University of Buffalo is pretty nice this time of year. But LeSean McCoy, you know, again, upset that he was sent to Buffalo. And then when asked about it, didn't really want to address it, which I know you loved because, you know, a man calls another man a racist. And then when asked about it, said, nah, I don't really want to talk about
that. Yeah, that's not something you can just say because really, like, if you call someone a racist, that's pretty tough to, like, go back to. So if you don't want to explain yourself, then you're an asshole. Sorry.
You're loving this cursing thing, aren't you?
Oh, I do. No, I'm telling you. I keep staring at this sign right now.
And then again, a couple months later, someone else got traded, and someone else made another comment alluding to the fact that Chip Kelly may or may not be have a hint of racism in his body. I never thought about the hint thing until you brought it up. Brandon Boykin, when he was traded to the Eagles, said that Chip Kelly is uncomfortable around people of our culture, meaning black culture, and went on to say that Chip Kelly didn't talk to him when he walked past him in the hallway.
See, I didn't know Brandon Boykin was just such a sensitive little man. Because, like, underscore the little, because he is very little. He's like
he's a small guy. He's a small guy.
Could you imagine me playing cornerback?
I can't.
Like covering Dez Bryant?
No,
so that's why I've never been a Brandon Boykin fan, because he's small. Little midget.
But you have three guys, though. Like obviously, this seems...
Oh, so this is like a thing for like Law and Order. Like, where's Lenny Briscoe at to like uncover if Chip Kelly's racist?
Exactly. Like, we have three witnesses.
We need to put him in the interview.
In the box.
Yeah,
you got to put him in a box. You have three guys.
Now, who
Thomas.
Plays good cop, bad cop?
That's a good question. I mean, like,
now would like Trey Thomas be good cop?
You're a little bit more Jesse L. Martin than I am. So
I'd be Jerry Orbach because he. Rest in peace, by the way. He used to throw the best one-liners. Like,
he did. That's what I'm saying. You had the one-liners. So you would probably be Jerry Orbach. I'm probably Jesse L. Martin.
But would we ever get down to the fact, would we be able to break Chip Kelly, say, I'm a racist.
No,
not a shade of racist.
No,
I'm a lot racist.
He's just a he's just a weird dude who wants people to buy into his system.
Is that wrong?
No. Like, really, on some level.
Once you talk this out like normal, civilized people, you realize this is just the guy who just wants 100% conformity.
Like most coaches, and I mean...
No, not even coaches. Most employers, they don't want disgruntled bozos. They don't want people saying, oh man, this coffee sucks. or like my computer blows. Like, I mean, just damn. Could you imagine having to deal with that shit daily?
I'll give you that. But I mean, just on a basic level, let's keep it just to sports for a second. Most coaches or most managers or, you know, whatever, high school level, college level, pro level, they just kind of want people to buy into their system. I mean, like, this is my system. This is how we're going to do it. These are the plays we run. This is, I expect you to be a practice X day. I expect you to do this. Chip Kelly is pretty much like every other coach.
He's just a little more extreme.
He has weird methods. I mean, he doesn't talk to you, which is weird, but I don't think it's racist.
No.
I mean, like Todd Harriman's, who got released by the Eagles, he said Chip Kelly is equally racist to all races. So, like, that's not being racist.
No.
That's just being a weird dude.
So, is being weird equaling racist?
No, being weird is not being racist. No. It's just being weird. Like, Chip Kelly's just a weird. He's stranger than any coach or manager or front
authority
guy,
figure.
Authority figure. Thank you. That we've ever seen in his city, and he can be as weird as he wants to.
As long as you win a goddamn championship.
As long as there's a parade down the street, I don't care
because I really want to take off. Like, I really want to take a week off and just like take out retirement money and just go down to Dallas or no San Francisco,
San Fran this year,
and just
Santa Clara.
And just party like I'm Charlie Sheen without the cocaine.
And that's probably what will happen if this city ever wins. I mean, everybody's going to make the pilgrimage to wherever. Party like Charlie Sheen.
No, like there will be like from February the 7th, which would be like that, like right after. Like when's the Super Bowl? February 6th?
Something like that. I mean, this is a sports podcast. We should know these.
Let's just say
whatever.
November the 6th, there are going to be a lot of babies getting popped out.
I don't even know how to respond to that, but there could be babies popped out if everything falls into line and
it is. I mean, like, even you, the Eagles curmudgeon, feel slightly positive about this season.
I feel more than slightly positive after what I saw these past 4 weeks, and I am. I don't want to call myself a curmudgeon. I'm an old 36. If that makes any sense. I'm a little bit more skeptical.
But that's the thing. You can be a slight curmudgeon. You can't be slightly racist. Like, I mean,
no, true. This is true. There's no slight racist.
Like, you can't be racist on Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're really racist every day.
Or for a few hours.
But you're not like a racist on Pacific time or Mountain time. You're a racist all the time.
But even with my slight curmudgeon-ish-ness, I am a little bit – I am optimistic about this team. Again, from what I saw, let's talk about the team for a second. Where we are now and what we have to look forward to. And let's go defense first, and let's go from the Lions back. And let's talk about the defensive line. And the defensive line, you know, didn't change much. Well, the starters didn't change at all.
Continuity.
From last year. Are you worried, though? And one of the issues last year is that the Eagles didn't get a whole lot of push from their offensive line, from the defensive line, when it comes to the pass rush. Now, they didn't make any changes along the line. Are you still worried that they're not going to get enough pass rush?
Slightly worried, but guys? Once again, I can be slightly worried. But I think that will subside at some point.
So you're okay with, you know, the only thing
I'm worried about more than slightly is the secondary, the slot secondary position.
All right, we'll get to the slot secondary first. So the line's pretty much intact. Now, I know you're a huge fan of what they did in the linebacking core. They brought in Kiko Alonso, obviously, for LeSean McCoy. And of course, they drafted Jordan Hicks in the draft, re-signed Brandon Graham. And of course, they brought back your favorite interior lineman from linebacker from last year.
Whenever you can, whenever your nickname is from The Lion King, how can you not love a man? I mean, his nickname is Mufasa.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryans, the inside linebacker who tore his Achilles against Houston last year.
Mufasa doesn't tear his ACL. That's a sad thing.
Yeah, Mufasa doesn't tear. He tears his Achilles often because it's the second time that happened. But D'Amico Ryans re-signed this year, actually extended this year, brought back to the core. You have Kiko Alonso. You have possibly the greatest non-Pro Bowl inside linebacker in the history of the game in Michael Kendricks.
Are you only saying that because he kind of looks like Drake?
He doesn't. Can we stop with this Drake thing? Like, he doesn't look. Every light-skinned black dude doesn't look like Drake.
No, but he kind of does.
He doesn't look like Drake.
He's a Drake doppelganger.
He doesn't look, just because Drake has that beard now, trying to be hard. He doesn't look like Drake.
I've seen him in person. He kind of looks. He's a muscular Drake.
He's a muscular. Okay.
He's a swole Drake.
He's a swole Drake.
Yes.
Wait, he goes to your barbershop, doesn't he?
The barbershop he used to go to, like, he gets his hair cut there.
And at the barbershop, you said, hey, this man kind of looks like a swole Drake.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I would have gotten kicked out of the barbershop.
I still don't see it. Maybe I'm all lost in this. But you have Michael Kendricks anchoring the middle of the Eagles defense. How do you think that linebacker rotation is going to work this year? You have Kendricks, you have Ryans, you have Alonzo.
It's called GOAT.
It's called GOAT.
GOAT, the greatest of all time. Sorry. I mean, we got to – what's another explainable thing?
Yes.
GOAT, I think it might have been from LL Cool J, greatest of all time.
Yes.
You could just use that as a noun. You could use it as a verb. I mean, you could just throw it out anytime. Just say GOAT.
So how does that apply to the Eagles inside linebackers?
They're going to make so many plays, people's heads are going to spin.
So we got our Alonzo and Kendricks are going to start, you think?
There's going to be a rotation.
Okay.
A three-man weave.
A three-headed rotation, yeah. three-headed monster.
Come on, the last time we had a three-headed monster worked well with Deuce, Buckhalter, and Westbrook.
This is true. Now we're talking linebackers though. We have to talk about another guy. This guy on the outside that isn't, I don't want to call him a bust. He hasn't played up to expectations as of yet. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, Marcus.
He's one of the five guys who has a Roman numeral on the back of his jersey. That's Marcus Smith II. Marcus Smith didn't play that much in the preseason.
Much.
Hasn't shown one game. He played one game. Hasn't shown much so far. Can we expect anything out of this dude?
The more I think about it, because he was hampered by this injury, no.
Nothing?
No.
At all?
He more than slightly sucks. I mean, he really sucks.
So you can slightly suck?
Yes.
Okay.
Once again, people, the moral of this, if you take anything away from this podcast is, you can't be slightly racist.
But you can be slightly other things.
Yeah.
You can slightly suck a Marcus Smith II more
than
slightly
sucks.
I think
we just came on to like a – I mean, people are going to use this when they're on MSNBC talking about racism. They're going to be like, hey, these guys made sense. You can't be slightly racist.
You can't be. You're absolutely right.
This is like a Eureka-like moment for me.
I had a Eureka moment this offseason when they signed Byron Maxwell, because finally we got rid of Kerry Williams – who was busy buying sconces or whatever you do when
you're just
buy
being
a house.
Angry.
And being angry. And Bradley Fletcher, who I was just tired of seeing the back of his jersey last year for the Eagles. So I had a Eureka moment myself, because it looks like for the first time in years, we have a competent secondary. Am I wrong on this?
I could say you absolutely have I would say not vaunted yet, because you can't be vaunted unless you produce results.
You gotta do something.
This is going to be a. Right now, a solid secondary, even though a little slightly worried about the slot corner spot, because Eric Rowe right now is not ready for prime time.
Yeah, you have the rookie Eric Rowe. He's playing cornerback. Played safety and corner in college, playing slot corner for the Eagles right now. You also have E.J. Biggers. Who else is in the mix?
Denzel Rice.
Denzel Rice is in the mix as well. None of those guys really looked all that great in the preseason. And the way the NFL works now, you got to have a really good slot corner. I mean, most teams, I think it was like 70% of the time.
But you got to have one of a normal man height.
All I know is the man you call a midget, Brandon Boykin, was like a top 10 rated cornerback last year. That's all I know. I mean, small as he was, I know, as Chip likes to say, big people beat up little people.
Because that makes sense. Like, I'm not beating up anybody.
But I'm saying, though, you had a little guy, and he was still beating big people.
He was like the Vern Troyer of cornerbacks.
But he was getting the job done. He was getting the job done. Meanwhile, you have three guys.
He was
going to
be exposed for the midget he was.
And so Eric Rowe, who's big.
He's 6'1".
Playing against third stringers, how did he do?
Doesn't matter. At some point, it's called the regression of the means, and midgets will end up getting beat.
I would like to thank Tattoo Mom for refilling your green Kool-Aid here. Because you're obviously drinking the Eagles Kool-Aid today.
No, I drink height Kool-Aid. I'm short.
Height Kool-Aid.
I'm limited. Brandon Boy, like I'm like Brandon Boykin. I can shake his hand and look in his eyes. Like, I can't do that for many people.
Daryl Green. Does that name ring a bell?
He's like the John Nash of short people.
I'm just saying, like, you could be short and still do your job.
No, not in football. No. Okay. If height is kind of a requisite. Like, for me, being a CPA is a requisite. Being tall is a requisite of playing cornerback.
So the fact that we brought in Byron Maxwell, a tall, strapping cornerback.
Yes.
You know, you were okay with that because, hey, he's a big dude. It's cool.
Brandon Boykin still gets carded for Great Adventure.
You're not worried about the fact that, you know, that Byron Maxwell may be a product of his environment, or that Eric Rowe may be miscast as a slot guy. They're bigger, so it's cool, right?
Yes. Okay.
And so, and just going along with that.
That's the thing. Bigger is, I mean.
Bigger is better?
There are all, I mean, you know my obsession.
Size doesn't matter. Size does not matter. I tell myself that.
You tell me 15 examples where size doesn't matter. Bigger TVs, bigger burritos.
I like small cars get great gas mileage. Great gas mileage. I'm just saying.
But like, who the hell goes into like a dealership and be like,
I want gas mileage.
Hey, Biff, I want a small car. No one says that.
I'm gonna go in there and get like a Broham. But
you're not getting a Cooper. I see the car you drive. You drive a four door. It's not like you're driving like a.
I drive a family sedan.
Yes.
Okay?
You don't want a family coupe.
I'm a family man. If I could have, I would like to tool around in a nice little Prius because it gets good gas mileage.
No, you don't. You're lying to yourself. You don't want to be in a Prius.
Hey, what's wrong with it? It gets 48 miles a gallon.
Now you're playing radio being responsible. Who the hell cares about who the hell cares about gas mileage?
Says a man with no car.
Yeah, because I take gas-guzzling buses.
Oh, my goodness.
You see the difference? Buses, big. Especially those long, extended ones. They're the best.
And so I take it that you're also a factor of the big uglies on the offensive line.
Yes.
Because for, I guess, months now, I've been saying.
I'm just saying, there are certain professions where being a small lad is fine. Accounting, nursing, not football.
And not being an offensive lineman.
No,
right?
Not a football. Even the kickers were bigger than Brandon Boykin.
Speaking of kickers, did you see that Penn State kicker yesterday?
He was
like 260 pounds.
Yes.
I'm actually it's amazing. It's a kicker who's bigger than me.
That's the way it should be.
No kicker should be that big. That's crazy though.
I'm sorry. Size will always matter. Like I'll always get the extra large Gatorade. I'll never get the small Gatorade.
You've had a lot of women tell you size matters, haven't you?
Move on.
All right, so let's talk about, again, the big uglies on the offensive line. Now, I've been saying for months that this is a unit in shambles. Am I getting my term correct?
Yes.
Shambles on the offensive line because two of the starters from last year are no longer with the team. And you have a guy in Lane Johnson who isn't quite or hasn't quite yet lived up to his first-round billing. But once again, you take a sip of that green Kool-Aid in your big green bottle. Because bigger is better.
Yes.
And you're okay with a 40% of a new line and a Lane Johnson, and you're still good with that.
Yes. Okay. Because thankfully they have experience on both sides of those guys, so they'll be able to, I guess, navigate their stormy times.
So you're not worried that these two new guys can't open up the hole for your one-cut running back?
I have a lot of worries in my life.
Okay.
I mean, when am I going to play this new video game I have?
Yes.
But, like... The Eagles, I really am not worried at all about the Philadelphia Eagles. They don't keep me up at night.
They don't keep you up at night.
Not like my shitty job.
So so you're not worried that they're not going to be able to replace Jeremy Maclin's production?
My worry factor for the Eagles right now is probably at a 3 overall.
And the main reason you're not that worried about the Eagles this year is what?
I just see the landscape. The NFC is not that tough. And I just think, I don't know, they've made every move that has been questioned has turned out to be a semi-positive or a positive move.
So we're gonna give the positive grade already to the Sam Bradford move? Or right now?
Yes, right now, yes.
Now, and I know you were excited about Sam Bradford, but we haven't seen a whole lot of him. But I know you were excited to see him against Green Bay in week 3 of the preseason. And I wrote on Twitter when Sam Bradford threw that first touchdown pass to Darren Sproles in the wheel route, that Sam Bradford probably impregnated half the Delaware Valley at that moment. Mm-hmm. That pass was made because it's been a long time since we've seen a quarterback do that in this city. But again, we saw the man throw 15 passes in the entire preseason.
Those were 15 really good passes.
This man, again, who hasn't played a football game that matters worth a damn since October 2013.
Ah, that's timing. I mean, that was a long time ago. Roy, let's talk about the now. Let's stop living in the past.
So
2015 on.
So you're not. So again, you don't even. Doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter. I'm just so high on Eagles right now.
High.
I should probably get tested.
You are high. You are high. You are high on Eagles right now.
Yes.
You're maybe too high. Well, let me ask you. You know, I didn't want to do it this week because we're doing it on the show on Tuesday. But let me ask you. What is the Eagles' record going to be this season?
Wow. You're putting me on the spot here. And this is for, like, social consumption. I'm going to say 11-5, and they will win two playoff games.
Two playoff games. Are they going to win? Wait, are they going to win the division?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so if they win the division and win two playoff games, you know what that means. Well, if they get a bye.
No, they
won't get a bye.
They won't get a bye.
They won't get a bye. So they will make it to the NFC title game.
Yes.
With Sam Bradford and his bony legs.
Yes.
With DeMarco Murray behind a shambles offensive line.
Yes.
With Mr. X, Racer X, whoever, X slot corner.
Yes. You keep answering your own questions right now.
No, you're answering my questions.
Sorry.
And with Chip Kelly, who still probably won't talk to anybody, black or white.
Yes.
For the next 6 months.
Yes, so finally people can just get on the chip wagon or the Sam wagon.
Yeah, what are we calling it this year? Is it a chip wagon?
No, the Sam wagon.
The chip bus. Like what? We need the chip ship.
Yeah.
Get on the chip ship. You know, get your life preserver because it's probably going to be a hell of a ride. So get on the chip ship, everybody.
Just let yourself be had by Chip Kelly.
Yeah, because as curmudgeon-ishness as I can be, they are the best prepared or the at least closest to a title, I think, in the city right now.
Now, can we get behind a slightly racist person?
Well, there is no such thing as slight racism, we learned today.
Exactly.
So
the more you know, I'm telling you. Like that's like should be a more you know commercial.
So I don't care at this point. So, I mean, he's not racist because you can't be slightly. No. So I'm good with Chip. I'm on the Chip ship, man.
See, we've already like had
I'm not, you're steering the damn thing. I'm standing like starboard or port or whatever on one of the sides, like kind of hanging out. But I'm on board, man.
Yeah, no.
I'm on board.
Like I'm like right in front, just like – like, I don't know, like, of course, not in the handicap spot because you got to save those for the elderly. Like, I mean, yes. Like, I'm in that spot where the first spot I could be on the bus just looking out the window.
On the ship. No, the ship.
Oh, the ship. Just like whistling away, just waiting for the season to come.
You are a very optimistic person.
I am. Maybe I'm just having a good weekend.
You're having a good weekend. Temple won. We're doing the podcast festival here. You know, you're allowed to curse for the first time in 5 years.
This
on
really
the show.
No. I mean, this. If we could curse, that would be really good. Really, really good.
See, I try to market ourselves to other outlets.
Who are we marketing ourselves to? Fourth graders? We're trying to market ourselves to hardcore non-small people. Because people that are short probably hate me. Right?
We love small people too, by the way. Anybody, no matter what size, we love you for listening to the show.
Oh, no. Small people that don't play football.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Remember
got you.
That.
But just to go back to the point, I think the Eagles are in the best position to win a title among the four teams here in Philadelphia. But there's a couple other teams that
are there?
Yes, there are other teams that are in decent position or will be in a few years. And I know we don't have the time to talk about everybody, but I know you do want to talk about the Sixers.
The team with the crooked leg?
The
wooden leg?
The team that is building things, the team that asks you to trust a process. That you were unwilling to trust for one team, but more than willing to trust for another team.
Because they've actually given me hope. The Sixers are less than hope. Hopeless.
Less than hope.
They are like, I'm trying to think of the nice way to say this. They are very inept right now. They look very inept.
They're a team that drafted the best player from the college team. That
they have a guy that has had many, many knee surgeries. And he's 20 years old.
We're talking. I think he's 21 now. we're talking positive now. They drafted a man who was a star player on a national championship winning team. They have a player who arguably is one of the rookies. It was one of the rookie of the year, you know, candidates last year.
Terrible rookie year, but go ahead.
You have the potential for four first round draft picks.
This kicking the can shit is just getting old. I mean, like, I might not be around next year. I hope.
This ain't about you. This is about trusting the process.
No, it is about me. I'm selfish, damn it. I need a quality basketball team to cheer for right now, and I haven't for a long time, for a few years.
But right now, they are building towards the potential of having something great. The potential is high right now.
Call me when the damn thing's built. Right now, they don't even have a frame. They have that, like, they just have dust. Like, I mean, like, they don't have stucco. They don't have anything.
Jahlil Okafor, the draft pick this year.
That's a shitty foundation.
He's the foundation. He is the damn the concrete's been poured. He's the foundation.
I hope that doesn't fall, like, I hope it doesn't collapse.
I mean, you might get a better foundation later, but he's a good foundation.
This is like the foundation for a trailer park. This is bullshit.
No, you have a good foundation, and then again, you, if the guy who you said has had multiple knee surgeries comes back and is healthy next year, and Joel Embiid, if he's healthy next year, if Dariel Sarge comes over next year, you have
a lot of pieces. This is what the Sixers fanboys always say.
Says the man who's riding his hopes on a guy who tore his ACL 2 years in a row.
Well, the same guy that's hanging his hopes on a guy who hasn't played in the NBA yet.
No, I didn't bring him up. He wasn't the first guy I talked about. I left him for last on purpose. I didn't want to talk about Joel Embiid.
Because you don't want to talk about him.
Because I can't, because he's not here. He's a figment of my imagination. He doesn't exist. He's like George Glass in like the Brady movie. Like Jan's boyfriend. He doesn't exist right now. I have to talk about other people. That's why I'm talking about Okafor in the other draft picks. The Sixers have potential. So if you trust in the Eagles process, why can't we trust in the Sixers process? That's all I'm saying.
No.
You're having a good weekend. Come to my side on this. Come to my side on this.
I'm like stepping towards, like, I got one leg on that side, but not really.
You can't. That's like being slightly racist. You can't do it. You can't do it. You got to come over. Come on over.
I really want to like get a shirt that. No, but I get my ass kicked if I just said slightly racist.
Yeah, no, you don't. Don't do that. You don't want that. You don't want that. But come on over. Come on over. So I think the Sixers are in a decent position in a couple years to do a couple things. Of course, you have the Phillies and the Flyers and different.
We don't have enough time for those.
We don't have enough time for that. But I do. Before we get out of here, though, I do want to kind of get a little bit of audience participation. I know we have a few sports fans in the audience, maybe not that many. Does anybody have a favorite Philadelphia athlete of all time? Because I don't think I know yours. I think I do, but yeah. I'm not sure. Anybody out there? Is there anybody from, I don't know, years going by or even now? Do you have a favorite Philadelphia athlete? Just throw names out there. That's fine. Like nobody, you don't like Philadelphia sports. I mean, you have a Philly shirt on. I know you like somebody.
Who's your favorite Philly? But I think that's the thing. Is like you're getting to a segment of people that were done with favorite players. I mean, like they're like
so. There's no more
kids.
Favorite players.
No.
Like, no one has a favorite.
We're grown-ass people, man.
I'm a grown-ass man. I have favorite players from before.
No, but, like, you kind of, like, for me anyway, you lose their luster after they've, like, failed you so many, like, Allen Iverson, I mean.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, we've dealt with failure for years here in Philadelphia. We still have favorites. I mean, Brian Dawkins could walk in here right now, and grown men would start crying. Okay? He never won a Super Bowl. He never did any of that. We still love Brian Dawkins in this town. Like there's still people in this town
that get the emotions. Even though I think he's kind of overrated, but
I'm not going to push you. I wasn't going to put you out there. I wasn't going to put the fact that you think Brian Dawkins is overrated out there for public consumption. I wasn't going to do it. I just did
it.
I'm saying it.
This short man is saying it.
But no one out there has any favorite Philadelphia athlete.
Well, my favorite athlete is Allen Iverson.
So it is. I see, because I thought it was, and I wasn't sure. Allen Iverson, by the way, we are anti-racism, pro Allen Iverson on the Broad Street Line. Allen Iverson is our favorite athlete of all time. Actually made both of us cry at different moments. For different reasons. But I was just curious because I'm kind of not surprised, but it's kind of interesting to see now that a lot of people aren't that attached.
People are hard. Like, I mean, they're hardened, boy. Like, I mean, they don't let their hearts to athletes anymore. It really is. Like, I mean, they root for the teams, but they don't, like, because, frankly, the athletes don't give a shit about the fans in general. So why the hell should the fans dedicate?
Care about the athletes? Or, I mean, because we care about the teams. I mean, we all care.
No, but, like, I think it's harder to get attached to an athlete when all his business is out there so much. I mean, it's tough.
That's true. Well, you know, if you don't get attached to the athletes, we hope that you guys out there listening, whether you're listening right here live at Tattoo Mom or on the podcast on the wherever you're listening to it, we hope you do get attached to us here at the Broad Street Line. Again, you can catch us. Promotional materials are here. You can catch us every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Also on iTunes.
Also on Stitcher. We're very accessible. We're not slightly accessible. We're very accessible. For those of you who came in late, we have some stuff to give away for you as well. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. You know, we really appreciate it. As we like to say at the end of every show, Mr. Domingo, give everybody the snappy close.
I don't like, man.
Come on.
Bang, bang. But I was going to say Mazel Tov.
We'll say Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov.
Thanks, everybody.